win!
Chicago's sports conversation is now. On 720 WGN.
Happy Father's Day. Welcome to The Beat on 720 WGN. It's 312, greatest city in the world. Two guys off, two guys tag in. Kevin Paul is here. I'm Sam Panayotovich. And Superman, literally.
Superman.
Is in the building.
I just wore the shirt because I felt like Super Dad today before I left the house. I had to make sure that I had a screaming baby in my hands, plus my son didn't want to lay down and take a nap. So trying to figure out how to do that as a dad.
Well, I was a little worried. I was like, what's up with JP? Because I was walking into the studio here, and you got out of the elevator and went the opposite way of the studio. Because is he leaving? He saw me? He's out of here? He's not doing it?
I had to go get some water to make sure that I was good after I'm done with my soda.
Superman doesn't need to drink water.
Yes, he does.
Would you say you're filling in for Hogue or Carmen? I feel like you have more of a Hogue vibe. I'm more of a Carm vibe. You feeling that, JP?
That sounds fair. Are you with that?
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with it, but you guys would have to switch seats.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's where...
The Carm normally posts up in the main spot.
Listen, as long as you guys don't fight, I mean, we'll be good. Because those two, that's what they seem to do every single week.
I hear cat fights over the weekend between those two.
I'm always the one in the middle, just making sure.
But then you leave, and then they just go at it.
Hold up. But then this is the other thing, you two. So Adam Hogue has one kid.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Adam.
Happy Father's Day to Adam. Carm, no kids.
He might have a couple, actually.
he just doesn't know about it
yet. He might have a couple.
I got two kids. I'm working today. That's what it is.
But
the case is, the reason why, you got bills to pay, so you got to make sure that you're taking care of the family.
There you go. Carm's got to be playing tennis right now, right? That's the only reasonable excuse for him. Some sort of tennis tournament at his club.
Is there any video? Is he any good?
I don't know. It sounds like he's okay. Last time I was on with him a couple weeks ago, he was all upset because he got knocked out of the tournament early. It was a big upset. So,
because once you start hitting 35, it's like downhill from there when you're trying to play tennis.
Where's Carm at now? 41?
He's over. Yeah, he's...
He's 41 going on 15, though, I think.
If you notice, Carm, though, he used to brag about his basketball abilities. Now he brags about his tennis game. So I think that's everything that you need to know here. We have a lot to talk about today. There's great baseball in town. There's bad baseball in town. We have probably one of the best Game 7s since we've all been alive tonight in the NBA Finals. And, of course, it's Father's Day. So we were going to try and make this a hybrid-type show. Kev, you brought up the point about possibly just sprinkling in throughout the show like an everlying theme.
Yeah, like if anybody's got text or they want to call in throughout the show, any memories, I mean, all of it. Obviously, Jared, you, Sam, you played sports growing up. I have memories of just playing catch, things like that. Anything fathers-related, sports-related, text us. We'll read it on the air, 312-981-7200.
You guys got some good stories?
About you? Just about
playing sports and... I have a really cool one. I don't know how much time. How much time we have?
We got time.
Okay.
Got
just time I remember playing soccer when I was younger and growing up. And at Grove Avenue School, one day we had all the fathers playing against their sons. So all the dads come out, and I remember thinking, man, my dad never played soccer. He's a great football player, but he probably doesn't have any skills. And my dad comes out to Grove Avenue. Never forget. I actually have the picture. I'll show you guys. He had this white shirt on, his guns are just bulging out of his t-shirt, and then you look at the picture of all the other dads, they're like, they all got knee braces on and everything.
Belly's going
on. And it's like, and my dad was like schooling us, all these
that
little
doesn't
kids
surprise me.
And through the game, one of the coolest moments was all the kids knew him for the Jerry Curl, and he whips out a Ruse headband and puts the Ruse headband on, and then you knew it was serious. And he ended up scoring like 8 goals that day. So I just remember that's one of the memories I had of actually playing a sport with my dad, and him being there was pretty cool.
My favorite baseball player growing up, it wasn't Frank Thomas. It wasn't Sammy Sosa. It was my dad, actually. And we used to go to all. He was really good in college. And then he played in, men's league. But he was raking, and he was hitting like 600 in men's league when he was like 55. So I used to go and keep score at all the games, and that, to me, was the beginning of sports love. I was 5 years old, going to watch these old geezers throw the baseball around the diamond. But being in the dugout, keeping the book, just seeing the guys like that, for me, was my favorite baseball player growing up. in my early years.
I love that. Yeah, for me, it's exposing me to the sports in general. You know, sitting around the dinner table, I felt bad for my mom and sister sometimes because it was me, my dad, and my two brothers just going at it, doing what we're doing right now, sports talk at the dinner table. You know, but the early memories of my dad taking me to baseball games, that's the beginning. I think everybody can relate to that. Going to your first game, diehard White Sox fan my dad is, so naturally that rubbed off on me. So just the love of sports we share and always talk about together.
It's pretty cool, you guys. You start to, when you have kids, and just thinking about my son down the line and how he, we're supposed to be going to a baseball game, but to take him to his first baseball game, I took him to, during training camp, took him to the Bears, like little scrimmage at Soldier Field, and him walking in and watching football. I mean, it's that experience. I can only imagine what our dads felt like the first time they took us to a game or just being around, exposing us to sports. It's one of those things that brings people together, and that's what's so great about, you know, tonight, man. We got so many great games on tonight. All I wanted from my wife was an iTunes gift card and just let me please watch Game 7 downstairs. I just bought new TVs. I have a 75-inch TV. I have never watched one game on it. Can I please watch it tonight? And she was like, we'll see when you get home.
You get one day out of the year, right?
You get two.
You get your birthday and you get Father's Day. Right, those are your days.
I think that's like every dad's wish on Father's Day.
Just leave me alone.
Let me sit on the couch, drink a beer, and watch sports.
That's all I want to do.
312-981-7200. We've got some phone calls. We've got some texts. Let's pop in Joe here real quick before we grab a break. Joe, you're on the beat. Welcome to it. How you doing?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Great.
You know, growing up, I grew up in grammar school in the mid to late 70s, mid to late 70s in grammar school, and there was no organized hockey in the city of Chicago. And my father was kind of the neighborhood father. All the kids that, you know, instead of getting into the games and stuff like that, he kind of organized a little team around the neighborhood, and we made a rink across the street from our house in an empty lot and played there. And I actually went on from there to play traveling hockey, played for high school. We finally got the high school to take and recognize a team and played traveling hockey all over the United States. Played pretty successful up to and including AAA hockey, you know, and it all stemmed from my father organizing teams and finally getting, actually when they opened McFetridge ice skating rink in Chicago, that was when old Mayor Daley was there, and he was there to open the rink, and we were the first organized hockey league in the city of Chicago.
Love it. Thank you, Joe. I think a lot of people have stories like that. Again, dad sort of getting you into organized sports, exposing you to it, and the rest is history after that.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep the stories coming. We're dad therapy today on the beat until 6 o'clock before Brian Noonan. 312-981-7200. The good, the bad, any stories you may have. And it doesn't even have to be sports, because sports are secondary today. It's about your dad. It's about your father figure. It's about your grandpa, your uncle, you name it. We're talking about it. Even when you can't be there, they are. It's Chicago Tribune Sports Plus. More coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city. Join now at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. Peyton Powell, Panionovich on the beat. 720 WGN. Gorgeous day as we look out Michigan Avenue, about 82 degrees at last check.
The 214 texted in, not Father's Day. We're taking Father's Day texts, phone calls, anything related, sports, anything you want us to read on the air, 312-981-7200. This one's not related, but it says, hello, this is a message from your talent booking agency to tell you that the name you have chosen for your new boy band, Panionovich, Peyton, and Powell, will have to be changed. It's too long to fit on the marquee or the t-shirts you'll be selling at your shows. I didn't know we were a new boy band. Panionovich, Peyton, and Powell.
Well, both of you guys got great hair. So
I'm sure you did at one point too.
No, I'm lacking in that department. All you have to do is go back to the Hall of Fame speech that I did back in the day and look at I had a Sean Kemp with like a slight Gumby, and it was horrible.
How old were you there?
I was 12 years old, and I've had a receding hairline ever since I've been born. So it just never worked. But let me just tell both of you guys, your hair It's phenomenal.
Thank you, Jared.
Speaking of receding hairlines.
Oh, God.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Game seven tonight. LeBron James, big bad wolf, going into California to try and bring the city of Cleveland their first major pro title since 1964. How fitting would this be if this guy can come in, knock off the MVP, knock off arguably the best regular season team of all time, and
the reigning champs,
bring a title back to that title-depraved land in Northeast Ohio?
Is it wrong for me to say that I'm really rooting for Cleveland? Like, after watching that Believeland documentary on 30 for 30, it really put it in perspective of, like, Cleveland has really been hurting for a championship, and they deserve a championship. Like, we take it for granted because we live here in Chicago of how many rings and cups that we have. And to see a city that is just starving for one, and everything that LeBron did from leaving to coming back, I mean, it's only fitting that they win a championship tonight. I just think that it's ridiculous if they can't tonight because LeBron has been unbelievable in this series.
I don't know if I'm really rooting for either one of these teams, honestly. I think as the game starts to evolve tonight, I'll probably start picking a side, but I'm not actively rooting against LeBron. But it's on him tonight. And that's not a knock against him, but it's on him. If they're gonna win tonight, it has to be because LeBron tears it up.
He needs 40. He might need 50.
Yeah.
But you know what, JP? That's gonna be the effort it's gonna take. He has been, and you can call Steph Curry the MVP. You take LeBron off the Cavaliers, they might win 30 games. I mean, when he left Cleveland the first time, okay, the year before he left, they were 61-21. He leaves Cleveland to go to Miami. They win 19, 21, 24, 33.
He's the
best player. No player has had an impact on their, maybe ever. Maybe ever. Because he does everything on the floor.
I'll go with you on that one. Because I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that does everything like he does. And what he's asked to do on every single night, being on the floor, of getting people involved, to scoring, to now you look at just the numbers. And in this series, I mean, he's leading in every single category when you look at what he's supposed to do and what he's asked to do. I mean, I think at halftime, sometimes he goes and buys a bunch of, like, you know, cold pops and gives them to everybody else out there and gives people popcorn. Come on, man.
I think people get blinded and don't appreciate what he does on the court because he does have a following of non-fans, of people that hate on him during his game. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
I mean, you
see it on social media. And I'm not saying that's valid or people should be hating on LeBron, but it's apparent on social media, and people continuously go back to the Jordan comparison. JP,
it's not fair.
I know it's not. That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
more magic than to me, with like a splash of maybe like Scotty in there, or if you would. He's not MJ.
Like tonight, just sit back and relax, and don't hate on LeBron. Just watch what he does and appreciate his play.
But are people still mad because of the decision? Is that what
I think?
People
that's some
mad?
Of it. I think people still feel like he abandoned Cleveland, right? I mean,
if you're not from Cleveland, you really shouldn't have a big issue with it, all right? If you're from Cleveland, I get it. You should be upset.
I mean,
but
they forgave
not,
him. They forgave him.
And I think people thought it felt like he was taking a shortcut. I think that's what a lot of people were saying. I'm telling you, that's what I think a lot of people were thinking when he said, you know what, I'm just gonna jump to Miami and join Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. I think people thought, well, that's a shortcut.
He's always wanted to be popular. He's
right.
Always wanted to be the coolest cat in the room. And
no
I think
question.
Sometimes that has put blinders on maybe some goals that maybe he didn't have. And we talked about this before. Like, when he loses, I don't think it drives him like it drove Mike. Because if Mike lost, like, Mike was going to do something to overcome. But that being said, we watch sports. I watch sports for greatness. And this is living color. This is the greatest basketball player on the planet. Mm-hmm. And if you can't understand that and you can't watch and appreciate that, there's something wrong with you.
Well, my thing is that when you look at what went on, especially in that period of time, he had to go down to Miami for a reason. And to me, the reason was he didn't go to college. He wanted to go and hang out. And listen, I went to college in Miami. If you get a chance to go there for 4 years, please go there and hang out.
We got a Cavs fan behind us right now. He's got his Cavs shirt on. Love it.
It looks like Zdrunas Ilgauskas. That guy actually kind of looked like Ilgauskas, who used to play for the Cavs for a long period of time. 3:29, we got news coming up. You got some business to take care of. We'll talk some more NBA Finals. And for people that don't like LeBron, and maybe it's one reason or the other, why? Like, why don't you like him? 312-981-7200.
Sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Cats in the cradle and a silver spoon. Yes, we have no bananas.
Oh, that's sweet, Homer. Our son is growing up, isn't he?
No, it's not that. Didn't you hear? They have no bananas. They have no bananas today.
Downtown Danny Long.
One of the best TV dads of all time, Homer Simpson, bringing us back to the beat. We should do that later. Best TV dads.
Oh, there we go.
Best TV dads of all time. You got a couple.
There was a couple. One that I can't mention on the air anymore.
Okay.
You know where I'm going.
I think I know where you're going with that. It's 312-981-7200. We'll go around the sports world in a second. But we were talking Game 7, Cavaliers and Warriors tonight out at the Bay, and about LeBron James and why you should appreciate him. And even if you don't like him, you should just understand that greatness is what it is. And Mike wants to chime in here. 312-981-7200. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
And Jared, you know what? Awesome story you said about your dad. I'm always been a huge fan of your dad, and fortunately, I got to meet him one time at an auto show. Signed an autograph for me, but as a 10-year-old kid, you know me, lost it. So, but it's really, really a pleasure to talk to you. But I wanted to get to this thing about LeBron James. I obviously grew up in the Chicago area, born and raised. Watched all the Bulls stuff and, you know, Michael Jordan, the whole nine. But I was not a LeBron James fan for a lot of years. I got to give it to him. I mean, you know, I found a new admiration, a new respect for him. People were down on him that he never came through in the clutch. And for what they've done or what he's helped Cleveland do, coming back from 3-1 down to Oklahoma City, 3-1 down in this series, he stepped up, and I don't know. I mean, this is 6 titles in a row, 7. He's already done things that even Magic and Jordan and Bird can't even talk about.
He's been the best player 5 finals in a row.
Yeah.
Nobody else has ever done that. Nobody in the history of the NBA has been the best player 5 straight finals in a row. Now, granted, the record isn't good. Basketball's a team game, though. I mean, the team last year, JP, Dellavedova is starting. Timofey Mozgov is starting. I mean, janitors are playing.
And they almost found a way to win, which is pretty crazy. I mean, LeBron, his will to win is a little bit different than Michael Jordan's. And I think if we're going to, you know, we just compare him because of, you know, the greatness. To me, they're not the same player. But what he's asked to do on a night-to-night basis is unbelievable. And he's the only guy, Sam, like you said, if you take him off this Cavs team and you put him on any team, you could put him on the Sixers, I believe they get to the playoffs.
Oh, it's not even a question.
I mean that's how
any team.
Yeah, that's why I think it's so rare to see someone like him be able to play. And I think that's why I've sat and watched him and said, man, I just got to admire this guy from afar and watch him.
And I think a lot of people now watching, if you would have asked them before this series, just a casual sports fan, who are you rooting for? Most people would say Golden State. But to see the little crybaby, wussy act, throwing your mouthpiece, kicking people in the junk. I mean, Golden State has been really playing a little dirty, and they've been crying. And Steph Curry's wife is tweeting out that the NBA is rigged. And it's like,
neither team is more likable than the other.
No.
You know what I mean? That's what I was saying. I think as the game goes on tonight, I'll probably have a rooting interest towards one of the teams. But Sam, you mentioned this as a legacy game for LeBron. I think that's exactly right. You know, when you look back, and not comparing him to Jordan, but using this as an example, you can look back at Jordan's career, and there's landmark moments throughout the career. Big shots, big moments, big games. I mean, the flu game, it goes on and on with
the
Jordan.
Shot.
It's a game 7, LeBron. I mean, this could be a moment, a game that will be one of those landmarks, and one we can be talking about for years.
This is going to be the most watched game 7 of all time.
And
tonight,
ratings for Game 6 were bad because this series has been weird. It's been like unpredictable, and it's been back and forth and blowouts. But this Father's Day,
Leave
prime
me alone
time tonight.
Just leave me alone.
Jared and his 75-inch TV.
Give me a beer and let me relax.
I don't know though who Chicago fans are truly rooting for, because at one end of the spectrum, you've got the biggest bully in all the land, the guy who's been killing you in the playoffs for the last 7 years in LeBron James, or the Golden State Warriors. If they win the title, now they have 73 wins and a title, and they went back to back. So,
well, I'm not going to be mad for them keeping us, you know, out of getting to a finals, because you know what? That's our responsibility here
get
in Chicago.
Done.
Get it done. There's a reason for that.
The 224 texts in. It says, I'm trying to figure out what he means by this. It says, I don't like LeBron James for the same reason why I don't like the White Sox. It's not because I don't like LeBron James the person. I just don't like the LeBron James fan. So he's against the LeBron James fan base, apparently, and I guess he also doesn't like the White Sox fan base. Thank you for texting in, though, Dave. I appreciate it.
My big thing with LeBron was when, after they lost a huge playoff game last year, he put up or maybe this was a couple years back,
because now
he goes dark, right? He doesn't go on social media anymore in the playoffs. He tweeted something about, it was like him in, like, a sailor costume with, like, a stupid fedora on, and he tweeted, like, live, laugh, love or something like that. And I'm like, dude, you just lost a playoff game by 20. But, you know, life, because to him, life is, at the end of the day, all good. But a lot of people don't like to see that because they want you to, you know, live and die with basketball. And
which is a reminder to all fans, just take it easy sometimes. You don't need to be punching holes in your wall.
Like, at the end of the day,
like, if the players aren't, like, losing sleep over it, neither should you if you're a fan.
Yeah, LeBron made it out of the hood.
Yes.
With a single mother. He was expected to do nothing. And
I mean, the worst thing right now for him, I mean, after a game is sometimes maybe he's not driving the Bentley and he has the Kia K900 that he drives around.
He's
I love
never
that
been
car.
In trouble.
I like that car.
I want that car.
Has he ever been in?
I really do.
Has he ever been in trouble?
No, he hasn't. So that's one of the things that gets me upset. We see all these other athletes, and by most part, he's been a guy that's been kept a pretty clean rap sheet. I mean, isn't that what we kind of look at nowadays with these athletes?
He's a good dude. He's a good dude, LeBron James. I think for him, and I think you see it more now with athletes because they are being followed and called the next great one, like LeBron was when he was 13 years old. Reporters are covering him for every game, every youth basketball game. So it messes with them a little bit. I always felt like LeBron didn't seem genuine at times, only because I think he was trying to project a certain image of what he thinks people like him, a megastar, should be.
But Kev, he missed out on part of his life. He didn't go to college, so I'm with you.
Yeah,
on
I'm
that.
Not like I'm not blasting just, him for that. I'm just saying I think that's what sort of happened, and I think people see that sometimes. And LeBron does certain things and acts a certain way, and it just doesn't feel genuine.
I get you.
You know,
I can agree with you.
I think it is because of the way athletes now are covered from the time they're 13. I mean, I remember reading about LeBron James and ESPN, the magazine, and Sports Illustrated when I was, you know, in middle school or high school, or whatever. And this kid's 16 and he's throwing down hammer dunks and we're following him. I mean, there's been reporters that are still following him to this day.
And
I think it sort of messes with him and maybe socially kind of screws him up a little bit too.
I just love, and even Hannah brought it up in Crosstalk. Well, he's no Jordan.
Immediately. Like, that's the first thing people go to.
It's like, it's especially no MJ. Here, because, you know, Mike was, I mean, you hear stories about Mike. Like, you know, if anybody said a bad word about Mike, Mike was going to dunk on you. You know, the next time down the floor, he was going to jam on you. My favorite Mike story was that when they were in Utah, and he dunked on Stockton. And some fan screamed at Mike, like, dunk on somebody your own size. Next play down the floor, he dunks on Mel Turpin, who was like 7 feet tall. Yes. You know, like but that was Mike, because Mike
enough?
Was like, the only thing that mattered to Mike was being better than you. There aren't many people like that.
And if you listen to the stories, I love Mike. I'm a huge Mike fan. Love Mike. But if you listen to some of the stories about Mike, he wasn't the nicest guy
either.
He
was vicious, man.
He was vicious.
Killer.
He would rip your heart out.
To his own teammates. They didn't even really like
him. Teammates.
Right?
By the way, on this day, June 19th, 1984, the Bulls drafted a young 21-year-old out of North Carolina named Michael Jordan.
32 years ago.
There's a little on this
I'm
day fact
so
for
old.
You.
312-981-7200. I also want to talk about something Kyle Long did recently. Did you see what happened?
You want to talk some Bears football?
Maybe there, too.
I mean, can we?
Kyle Long did something I think is a cardinal sin in Chicago. Maybe we'll talk about that next. Let's do that, because Kyle Long is playing both sides of the coin And in this city,
I love Kyle.
You got to pick a side.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Pick a side, baby. This is The Beat, 720 WGN. Ten minutes before 4 o'clock, 720 WGN, The Beat. Jared Payton, Kevin Pyle, Sam Panionovich. Believe the regular crew is all back next Sunday. Although, I think I'm in again next Sunday.
I think Carm has another tennis tournament.
It's vacation time.
Taking text, 312-981-7200. Anything Father's Day related? You want us to give a shout-out to your pops? Any fun father-son sports memories? Feel free to text it in. 708, shout-out to Lewis Faulkner. He's listening in Dayton, Ohio. Happy Father's Day to him. His son Kevin texted in. He says he listens to the guys on The Beat online every Saturday and Sunday. Awesome. Happy Father's Day, Lewis.
Hey, Lewis.
So Kyle Long did something, and where I'm from, you can't do this. Now,
where are you from?
From the South Side. You can't wear Sox and Cubs gear. You pick one side here. And I know Kyle's not from here. He was born in Virginia. He kind of bounced around the country, played football in Oregon, and now he's here. And he was drafted by the White Sox, first of all, as a left-handed pitcher.
Can you imagine Kyle Long on the mound? That's intimidating.
He was throwing like 95.
Yeah, he was throwing heaters.
So there was a barbecue, and this happened, I think, last weekend. There was a barbecue at the offensive line coach's house, and what do you know? I think the tags were still on the hat, JP.
Still.
A fresh blue Cubs hat, sparkling, shining, fresh red sea. Like, he bought it that morning. And, you know, the Cubs are 24 games above 500, and they're the best team in baseball, and now, you know, Kyle Long has a Cub hat. Riled some people up, and Kyle said, look, I'm a Chicago fan. That's not how it works, Kyle.
Pick a side.
I'm sorry.
Party
you
foul.
Can't do that.
He's a politician. I can see that's in his future when he gets done playing. It's tough. It's really tough.
It's
you
really
see,
not
but
tough.
You
pick a side.
No, I've seen a lot of athletes the last couple of months who have been dealing with this with baseball hats or even hats. We talked about it on our podcast of Laquan Treadwell, who was wearing a Oakland Raiders hat, and then Minnesota fans just went crazy on him. And then I think it was Carmelo Anthony wearing a Yankees and a Mets hat. It was like split down the side.
It was a hybrid hat.
Yeah, and it just got people in New York like all riled up.
Who was it? Was it a Brady Quinn and A.J. Hawk when they were playing Notre Dame and Ohio State?
It was Brady Quinn's sister who
was dating A.J. Hawk.
Married A.J. Hawk.
And she had the half Notre Dame, half Ohio State jersey on during the game at the stadium. I don't get it.
I took flack a couple years ago going to Ole Miss. I went to Ole Miss. They invited me to a game. My wife and I, we went and had a great time, and they gave us some gear. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to wear it, walking through the Grove, and took a picture.
Uh-oh.
And next thing you know, like, Miami fans are coming at me. I'm like, what are you? We're not even the same conference. What are you talking about?
And you're a guest.
I'm a guest. What am I going to tell? No, I can't wear that.
Now, did you have the garb on, though? Did you have Ole Miss gear on?
Yes.
Okay, see,
he was wearing the Ole Miss gear.
I had the Ole Miss gear.
Why were you at Ole Miss? With just a random
because my family's from Mississippi, so we were down in Mississippi in Jackson, and one of the athletic director at knew my uncle and said, "Do you want to come?" I wanted to go to the Egg Bowl, so I wanted to go, you know, see what the Grove was all about. And next thing you know, I'm getting bashed by Miami fans. Come on,
they're diehards, Jared. Listen, you know better than anybody.
I know
those Miami.
I
fans.
Knew it as soon as I hit send. I knew what was coming.
I've got these friends though, and people that I've come to know over the years that in 05. Huge White Sox fans, you know, and then in 06 and 07 and 08, you know, the fall, there's like a 3-year hangover period where, you know, the World Series kind of hangs over the city. And now the guys that were so-called diehard Sox fans, like I said, Kyle Long had the freshest, newest Cub. I think it came off the rack at New Era.
By the way, the Sox lost today, were swept out of Cleveland.
In the least surprising news of the day, the Sox have lost 18 of 24.
What is
Robin Ventura still has a job.
When does that happen?
They blow one late Friday night. James Shields gets lit up for the fourth straight start, including the Padres one. All three here. He gave up 8 runs in an inning plus of work Saturday night. And then today, their closer, who's pretty much been lights out for a majority of the season, David Robertson, gave up a walk-off in the 10th. Correct, Sammy?
Yeah, walk-off single. I think he loaded the bases.
It's all good. Everything is going to be okay.
No, it's not. No,
yes, it is.
It's not.
No, everything is going to be okay on the South Side. Don't worry.
Yeah, you just go buy a Cub hat, and then you're a Cub fan.
They are 5.5 back now of Cleveland, and they get to play in Boston now for the next four games.
That's a heartbreaker.
No, that's where the turnaround is going to happen with Boston.
How many runs would James Shields give up against the Boston Red Sox lineup? Over, under 10? We'll put it at like 13,
James
14
Shields
runs.
Would get tagged by St. Rita right now.
Oh, my God.
That's why I was looking for a GIF yesterday on Twitter that with like one of those scrolling numbers, like going really like starting from zero, going all the way up. And I was going to tweet like, this is his ERA. But I didn't want to go there, so I just didn't press send.
They're now 3 games under 500. There are 3 teams ahead of them. Cleveland in first. Kansas City is a game back of the Indians. And then Detroit's in third. They're 4 games back. They're 500. So things are not good.
So,
update on Adam Panayotovic, please.
Oh, I don't have it yet.
Sam's brother pitching for who?
The Great Falls Voyagers.
There you go.
Update yet?
Well, we've been doing the show here. Kevin and I were listening before the show started.
Great quality, by the way.
On the worst audio stream in the history of audio. It was like a play-by-play man who was pretty much talking like that. And then it was...
But it was cool. I mean...
Just like crazy static, and you couldn't really hear it. But he came out, and they announced him. He came out, took the ball, and they're like... From Chicago, Illinois.
Sam's brother's in the White Sox farm system, by the way.
Yeah, he's playing for the Advanced Rookie Club. They were losing 1-0 in the second inning. So,
all right.
We believe in Adam. He's the future of the White Sox, Sam.
This is
what we need.
He's the future.
He works hard. And there is going to be a trip, by the way. There's going to be an RV trip to Montana in July.
Let's do it.
I'm going. There's like a group of like 7 people going. You ever been to Montana, Jarrett?
No, never been to Montana.
Never had a football game in Montana.
No.
Montana's got a good football program.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, they have a really good team.
Do they really?
Yeah, FCS. Cougars? No,
can't remember, but they are. It's a good football program. They beat North Dakota State last year. They've had some big wins. There's your FCS football update and minor league baseball update, in one package.
They must have played Illinois State at some point.
Fear the bird.
312-981-7200. We've got 2 hours left to go. We'll talk some more dads. We got to talk some dads. And I know you've got your Walter Payton stories. If you've got them, send them in. We want to hear them, too. 312-981-7200.
Just real quick, U.S. Open leaderboard. Shane Lowry, the Irishman. He's 6-under for the round. The final round underway. Dustin Johnson's 2 strokes back at 4-under. Sergio Garcia making a little bit of a run today. He's 2-under. There you go. There's your U.S. Open Championship updates. Shane Lowry's your leader at 6-under. This is The Beat.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Goodness.
Happy Father's Day, wherever you might be. Welcome back to The Beat. It's 407 in Chicago, 720 WGN. Jarrett Payton, Kevin Powell. Sam Panayotovic.
Hey, Sam Pan.
Yeah, what's
real
going
quick
on? Yes.
Man, if people out there listening on the airwaves right now could hear our conversation during break. Man.
Oh, 60 seconds ago?
Wow.
Yeah.
Just took me back. I had sand in my hair. I was in Miami. Thank you guys for that visual taking me back.
Thank you for the visuals you provided to us.
Yeah, no kidding. Seriously. Young JP.
JP, Miami.
Miami.
Oh, man.
And you, we'll let you guys do
Father's Day, man. It's a great day.
It is a great day. Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. We're just, this is awesome.
It's actually 90 degrees right now, and you could tell because the streets are just jammed. Yeah. I mean, with people, with cars, they're going everywhere, and it's a great day to honor your dads, your father figures, and so on and so forth. We've got the list of best father-son combos.
So they broke this down. This is from the Detroit Free Press put this together. They have, for each major professional league, NHL, NFL, what do you guys want to start with? And we'll start NFL here, okay? They list the Mannings. I would want Walter and Jared, but what are you going to do? I'm not going to argue with the Detroit Free Press on the air. They went with the Mannings, obviously Peyton Manning and his father, Archie.
Okay.
Put up some big numbers. The big stat they provided, 140,042. That's the passing yards for the Mannings.
How many?
140,042.
All right, well, Peyton's got to have at least like 80,000 of those.
There's got to be some. You got to throw in some other.
Oh, this is for all three of the Mannings. So they're including Peyton and Eli in this.
Okay.
So it's 71,940 for Peyton. Eli is the has 44,191. Archie has 23,091.
Yeah, Archie was a scrambler though. Archie could boogie. out of the pocket.
So no, I would have to throw in there the Matthews, the Clay Matthews Sr. and Clay, I mean, the, you have to throw them. And then the guy who I played with, since we're talking about Miami, I know he didn't have like the maybe the best pro career, but Kellen Winslow and Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they need to be in that conversation.
Just Junior at Miami was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And he had that knee injury, though, right?
He had some real bad injuries.
He just never got a chance to really kind of keep it going, but he was one of the best players I ever played with.
All right, moving on to Major League Baseball. Did you want to keep going NFL?
Dude,
I'm sorry, Jerry.
What about Howie Long and Chris? Come on,
man.
Oh,
no, if you got
rolling out here.
I know the football. I won't know any of these other ones.
Okay, let's stay football. No, who else you got? Let's hear.
I would just say, Howie Long and you. I mean, you got the Long brothers, Chris and Kyle. I mean, you have to throw them in there as well. I think they should be, you know, some notables in there. Tony Dorsett, his son, Anthony Dorsett, who played as well. I know him pretty well. I don't know. Those are just some other ones.
All right. If you got
what about Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck?
Oh, son, it's a pretty good one as well.
I don't know if Oliver was all that great, but
Andrew's pretty decent.
Andrew's pretty good.
If anybody has any thoughts on this, 312-981-7200, you can text in or
call in.
Baseball. There's been a few in baseball. They have listed here the Bonzes.
The Bonzes.
Barry and Bobby, come on. The big stat they provided here.
With the home runs?
1,094 home runs between the two of them. Bobby hit 362.
Yeah, Bonds had 762, I think.
Barry had 762. Pretty good careers for both of them.
Are we leaving somebody out here?
The Griffies?
The Griffies.
We got the Griffies there.
Okay, just throwing them in there. I'm looking at some other just
Adam stats. LaRoche and his dad.
Adam and Trey.
Did someone text that?
No, I just thought of it. Oh. That brings back memories of the White Sox disaster of a season. Adam LaRoche and his son.
But when that was
Drake,
going
on, Drake LaRoche.
When that was going on, the White Sox were good though.
You know what? This real quick to derail from what we're talking about. The White Sox have been just so unpredictable. When that was all going down, we're like, this is going to tear apart the locker room. It's going to tear apart the team. They come out and they're on fire. They go 23-10.
I know.
And then now, out of nowhere, they completely are nosediving. That's what in town. I feel like we've watched three different teams so far this season. The Cubs doing what they're doing, and the Sox have looked like two completely different teams.
I can agree with you on that one.
All right, back to the best father-son combo.
What about the Alomars in baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to throw them.
Got the Boones, Cecil Fielder, Prince Fielder.
There you go.
Ooh, I forgot about one in football. The Ryans. Buddy.
Oh, there you go.
Come on, man.
Robin
Rex. Rob.
Did you see him on that bike?
The bike, the two-seat bicycle?
They're driving a two-seat bike through Buffalo.
Just riding around.
Yeah, they're only, you know, they're each like 300 pounds.
Right.
You know, getting on one of those two-seaters. All right, so that's baseball again. If you got any, feel free to text them in 312-981-7200. To the NBA, they have listed here the Currys. Huh? Steph and Dell?
I mean, yeah.
Dell was okay. I mean, it's just like flavor of the week. That's the Steph Curry thing. And it is. I've seen enough of Steph Curry.
The big stat, 2,888. What's that number?
The three-pointers?
Number of three-pointers made between the trio it has here.
I actually, I saw this earlier. If the Warriors win the title tonight, Klay Thompson and his father, Michael Thompson, who played for the Lakers, would be the second father-son combo to win multiple titles. The other, the Waltons. Bill Walton and Luke Walton. How about Luke Walton? After tonight, no matter what, you're screwed. You're the Lakers head coach. you're not with the Warriors anymore.
Enjoy the winning while you have it.
No, like win or lose tonight, he's going to the Lakers. One of the worst teams from last season.
Now this listed Seth Curry along with his brother Steph. People forget Seth Curry is a brother in the league.
Yes, went to Duke.
Seth Curry playing for the Kings right now, correct?
Yeah.
He's pretty good himself, though. He's not Steph good, but he's pretty nice. Who else you got?
I'm trying to think. No, I don't have anybody else listed here. Basketball, anybody come to mind? Basketball, NBA, father-son
combos?
Yeah,
what about Rick Barry and his sons?
Yeah, Brett and John.
Yeah, you got to throw them in there. Mike Dunleavy and his dad.
Well, I'm sticking with Adam LaRoche and Drake LaRoche as my favorite father-son combo.
How many home runs they both have combined?
I don't know.
Well, Drake was a good leader. I mean, leadership's more important than any statistical edge you
get. They could use him right now. A little Drake LaRoche in the clubhouse, get things going back on track.
You need a spark somewhere, right?
I guess so.
Some of these moves Rick Hahn's made, it still don't look like a big spark.
Jack from the 847 Texan, how we miss this? Bobby and Brett Hall.
Well,
we didn't get to hockey.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all you right. skipped hockey.
Yeah.
The NHL, they have the Howes. Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey.
You got the Stastnys. Peter and his sons, Jan and Paul.
Gordie, Mark, and Marty. Played in the NHL and the WHA.
Okay.
And then, of course, Bobby and Brett Hall. Any other hockey ones come to mind?
We got a text that says the Andretti's in racing. The Earnhardts.
Yes, the Earnhardts.
There you
I'm
go.
A big Dale fan, so...
You like NASCAR, don't
I
you?
I love NASCAR.
We got a race today or what? I'm not,
How'd you become a NASCAR fan?
I went to the LifeLock 400 here in Chicago, and I never forget. This lady said, listen, come out here on this restart. Come stand out here. And I was up in the boxes, and I went outside on the restart. They came around turn four, and I've never felt that way in my entire life. Like, my body, I had an out-of-body experience where I felt like the revving of the engines, and ever since then, I just fell in love and became a Dale Jr. fan because someone said I had to pick a driver, and I had to. And I was like, who do I pick? And so I started going through and thinking about it. Dale Jr. and myself and maybe a handful of other kids whose dads were greats in sports would truly understand what that person goes through of having your dad be bigger than life and then you come in and play in the same sport that they did. And it's kind of the thing. And I actually got to meet him and interview him, and we talked about it.
That reminds me. And, you know, we talk about fathers. I mean, you have one of the most famous fathers in this city. What was it like just, like, the pressure of, you know, being the son?
Yeah, did you feel pressure?
I mean, did you, you know, I'm sure you were the coolest cat at school, but, I mean, was there pressure when you got in the huddle to break the touchdown run every time, or...
It was always pressure. You guys, I mean, a lot of people forget, I played soccer from, you know, when I was 4 years old up to my junior year in high school. So
St. Vider?
Yeah, St. Vider. And it was just funny, though, playing a club soccer. And I remember just being out and about in certain games where people would yell at me running down the sidelines, you'll never be like your dad. And I'm like, I would stop, like, about to school someone and score a goal and be like, what? It makes no sense. We're not even playing the same sport. Like, what are you talking about? My dad always would tell me, he said, son, don't be like me, be better than me. And I didn't understand what he was saying back then. I'm like, dad, it doesn't make sense. You're the best. You're the best. And he was talking more about just the person that you are to people when you meet them and outside of playing sports. And if you can do that, you'll be successful. And that's kind of what I had to kind of pride my life on, was I'll never truly, truly be like him. And yeah, I never tell people this. So I've been telling a lot more people this now. As an athlete, if you would ask my dad who was a better athlete all around, he would tell you that I was. Not football, he was unbelievable, but I could play any sport. The one thing that I didn't have was the heart to go with it. You know, like, I didn't have that killer instinct like he did. So I probably at the biggest moment of my life when I needed him the most to kind of, like, push me when I got to Miami, I didn't have him there. So when things got hard, I used to just give up. And so now I look at my life so much different now about using that same killer instinct into, you know, the radio and TV.
Yeah, it doesn't have to, just because you left it on the field doesn't mean that you can't change.
And so that was like the biggest change. And he would always tell me that. And it made sense. Now it makes so much sense. And I'm trying to teach it to my 4-year-old, who is a carbon copy of my dad. They are the exact same. They don't like to lose at anything. They are the same person, and it's pretty scary to watch them grow up. It's like, come on. I want to call him Walter. I call him Walter Jaden, sorry, man. You acting like your grandpa right now.
We got another running back on the way? Another Peyton running back?
He can do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, we're talking about Father's Day. To me, that's the one thing that I had to really understand, is that my dad was super cool. Whatever I did, he was happy with it. He just wanted me to go 110%. And I remember before my son was born, I was like, he's got to play football. He's got to do this. And now as a father, I'm sitting back going, whatever he does, I just want to be there. I want to be that dad that has the turtleneck on with soccer dad on his shirt. I don't care what you play.
Bringing juice boxes.
Juice boxes. I just want to be there. And now I can see, you know, what my dad was so excited about, you know, coming out and watching me play soccer. He was at more soccer games than he was football games. Like, he came out because he didn't know the sport, but he loved the sport because he saw how much fun I was having in it. He was actually kind of upset with me when I switched over to play football.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was pretty upset.
Why was that?
I don't know. He just was upset. I think he wanted me to take my own path.
Okay.
And, you know, he knew how hard it would be. But it's cool. Everything worked out the way it's supposed to work out. And I got a chance to play at the biggest level in college and pro.
And
so
have,
cool.
have some fun down at the U as you
hey, man.
Graciously detailed for us.
That is like a pod. We can only, that's a podcast.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a podcast. Yeah. I don't know if we can even go there. Weather in the first 5 minutes. How's that for a spin? Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. Peyton Powell, Paniatovich here on the beat, 720 WGN here till 6 o'clock, and then it's Brian Noonan.
We got to shorten
through Sunday.
We got to shorten that up.
PPP.
It's just not going to fit on T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to make the T-shirts, we'll shorten it then.
You know me; I'm always looking for another chance to make some money. So yeah.
I'll put your name on it.
Whatever you admit it.
I
think Peyton should be a little bigger, and then just Powell and Paniatovich smaller if we need to save some space. Because we'll probably sell more just with your name.
I'm cool with it. Whatever we got to do to make it work.
You ever see that T-shirt? It's like it's a black T-shirt and it's white lettering. And it's funny. My dad actually has this shirt, and it's something on the shirt. It's really really little. You have to almost walk up and look at it, and it says, "Nosy little bleeper, aren't you?" That's how little my name would be on the shirt. It would be Big Peyton, and then Powell in the middle, and then my name would be like, you know, a couple letters.
Question for both you guys.
Yes.
What's that moment, that game that you went to with your dad? Like, did you go to a game? Is there like a signature game that you remember going to that you always just look back on and go, man, I remember that day?
I can remember vividly game one of the 05 World Series, Sox and Astros. Bobby Jenks comes out of the bullpen throwing 100 miles an hour, you know, striking out Jeff Bagwell, you know, like making the best hitters on the Astros look silly. He did take us to a lot of Bulls games too, but at that point, like, the details were sketchy. Vividly, like, you know, everything we did, that 05 game for sure. He brought me and my brother to the 05 World Series. We went to one game, and I'll never forget that game.
I think it was opening day. It's always like me, my dad, and my two brothers. So it's always just Sox games. I think if I just had one game, probably this one game, it was the second game of the season, I think like in 06 or something. And it had to have been like 30 degrees. And me, my brothers, and my dad were just freezing out in the bleachers. But we didn't even care. We were just having a good time. So I don't know. Probably one of those, just going to Sox games with my dad and my brothers.
The one thing, though, and this is something that we always still kind of poke fun at dad for, we stayed that entire game, but he was always the dad that, like, you had to beat traffic.
I get it.
So we leave early.
That's the, beat the traffic. That I am,
we literally, oh, my God. One time we left the game, the Sox were losing. You know, Sox were losing, like, 6-2. They come back and win it on a walk-off three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth or whatever, and we're in the car listening on the radio because we had to beat the traffic.
That's
and all
me.
That. That's you?
Yeah, that's me. Now it's at just being a dad. It's just being at like birthday parties, and I want to get out before everybody else, so I make sure I get the cupcakes, and then we're out of there.
JP, suburban dad, Jared Payton, I love this.
1990 NCAA basketball tournament, the championship,
UNLV
versus Duke. I grew up like a Duke fan, but also my dad was really close with Tarkanian, so we went to that year. My dad went and talked to those guys like at three different times, and I got a chance to go to that game. So that's the game I remember.
It's a grandmama team.
Real quick, so I'm sitting there, and my dad had hand me this hat, and he goes, "Have this man in front of you sign this." And I'm like, "Who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is." Signs the hat. Still have the hat. It was George Bush.
Wow.
The son. So
W.
Yeah. Sign the hat. So he's gonna be something one day. I was like, "Yeah, whatever." Got the hat.
You still got it?
Still have the hat.
Look at that.
Sitting in my, I just took out all my memorabilia.
I'm picturing Walter Payton and Jerry Tarkanian hanging out.
It was
towels. Tark used to chew the towels.
Crazy how they were. He found out that my dad was a fan through an article in the newspaper, and then contacted him. And then we went basically through those years. He was there at all the big games that they played in, and talked to the guys before.
Did you ever go to a game in Vegas? When they would,
basically all away games. We went to the Arkansas game. It was Arkansas and them. I don't know if that was 90. I think it was 90. They played at Arkansas, and we were at that game. There's actually video of that game of my dad sitting on the sidelines.
They used to dim the lights. Actually, they turned the lights off. It would be pitch black in there, and then they'd play the Jaws theme.
Yes.
When Tarkanian would come out, and it was dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So that would be certainly intimidating to go into that. And the team was going to beat you by 30 anyways. That UNLV team was pretty solid. 4:27 here. We got to take quick time out on the beat. We'll get into some more stories about Sweetness when we come back from news, as we have video. We're looking at Walter Payton. Jared's showing it on the computer right now, playing Arkansas. And yeah, there he is, courtside. Where's baby JP at?
I was sitting next to him, my cross colors. They didn't get me on TV. Sorry.
Well,
rookie producer move. You got to get the cute kid on the camera.
Those are the rules of life. Cute kid always gets the camera.
With the receding hairline.
At age 15.
At age 15.
720 WGN. .437 on the beat, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen, Adam Holgeroff, Kevin Paul, Sam Panionovich in. We've got another 23 minutes or so with Jared Payton. And shout out, I was at a wedding last weekend. You were at a wedding yesterday.
Yes, wedding last night. Congratulations to Danny Osterhout and his new bride, Rebecca. It was a wonderful wedding. Great family, the Osterhouts, family, friends. Couldn't have been a better time. Everything was perfect. It was out at Sunset Ridge Country Club, and I was shredding the dance floor, guys. I don't want to brag or anything, but I was throwing some moves down.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Congrats to them.
Got a text from the 708. Won tickets to the 1984 playoff series with San Diego. The Cubs did a lottery for tickets. We saw the second game together. I'm assuming the dad, Steve Trout, pitched. Last game we ever saw together. Exciting just doesn't cover it. So that's a good story about your dad.
Yes.
As we turn to the man wearing the Superman t-shirt, Jared Payton. I don't even know if you know where to start when you talk about some of your favorite stories about your father, Sweetness.
Now the floor is yours, Jared. I just want to sit back and listen to these.
These are priceless. And I mean, I've heard a couple of them a couple different times, but I mean, I'm just going to shut up.
You don't have to. I mean, listen, you guys, I have so many stories. I think one of the coolest ones would have to be one day just sitting in my room, and it's early in the morning, and my dad comes in, knocks on my door, and he says, "Let's go." So I'm like, "All right, where are we headed?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it. I got a bag ready for you. Just grab your disc, man, and let's go. Whatever you need, I got a bag ready for you, all your clothes." So I'm like, "All right, cool." So we go to O'Hare, get on the airplane, and, you know, as a kid, I'm not looking at where we're going. I don't really care. I'm 13 years old. Don't really care. Got my headphones on, listening to some music I probably shouldn't be listening to. And we get on the plane. Next thing you know, we ended up in D.C. So I'm like, all right, we get our bags. There's a black car waiting for us. We get in the black car, and we're driving, and we're rocking around. And I got my headphones on still. And the next thing you know, we pull up to the White House, and I'm like, what are we doing here? 10 minutes after that, we go through the gates. We're in the Oval Office. And I'm sitting down. Like, I'm sitting there, you guys. I'm sitting there, and I'm walking around trying to, you know, hit stuff. And my dad's like, sit down. Don't do anything. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, just relax. Like, I'm like, the president probably has some sons that aren't, you know, kind of acting like fools sometimes. You never know what could happen, right? So I'm walking around, and HW walks in, and he's like, Wally!
So that's phenomenal.
I'm like, what? You know him? He's like, Wally, come give me a hug. They give each other a hug. They're talking. And he's like, Jared, I want to show you around. So he's showing me around the White House. I'm seeing everything that you can imagine, going to every single room. And then we get at the end of the tour, as he takes us around, he goes, you hungry? I said, yes, sir. I'm super hungry. He goes, what do you want? I go, what do you mean? He goes, you can have anything you want. I said, anything? And I looked at my dad, and he gave me this look like, son, you better not say something stupid. So I looked at him. I said,
peanut butter and jelly.
Anything? I want hot dogs and pancakes. And he goes, done. I got you. The chef comes out, brings me hot dog and pancakes. My dad's still giving me that death stare. We're outside. We're hanging around. There's actually pictures, and I'll show you guys pictures. Hopefully, I'll actually post one of those pictures on my Twitter page in a little bit. But we're outside, and Marine One comes. And we get on Marine One, and it takes off, and it takes us to this golf course. And we're playing golf. No one's on the golf course, but my dad, the president, and like the president's three or four friends. And so we're driving around, and it starts raining, but they still want to play. So they're still playing. It's light drizzle. The president hits a ball over on like this elevated green on the side, and he jumps in my cart, and he says, "Son, take me to my ball." I'm like, "What?" So I'm driving with the president, and I go on the side of this green that's elevated, and the cart starts slipping. No.
Jared Payton takes down the president.
Yes.
So where's Secret Service at?
Secret Service is right behind the cart, and they actually grab the cart before it tipped over. So they bring it down, and the president's laughing. My dad has got another death stare on his face, and he's looking at me like, "Listen," he goes, "get out of the cart now.
You already got hot dogs and pancakes. Now you're trying to kill the president."
So I get out of the cart. I jump out of the cart. And as I jump out of the cart, the president goes, "Wally, come on, let him drive." And I looked at my dad, looked at the president. I'm like, "That's my dad. This is the president of the United States. I'm going to go with the president of the United States on this one," right? So I jump back in the cart. I'm going all the way around. Awesome. And then we get a chance. We left from there and end up going to – why am I – I'm blanking right now. Where the president stays. I can't think of it right now.
Where the president stays. We'll go with
the
we'll
White House?
Not the White House.
Camp David?
Camp David. Camp David. Thank you. I couldn't get it out. We went to Camp David, spent the night at Camp David, and got to see Terminator 2 before it came out. They had it on VHS.
With the president.
With the president. Woke up that next morning, had breakfast with the president, and ended up coming home. And it's one of those cool moments in my son's playroom, which used to be my office. There's a plaque with the president signed for me with my name on it saying, you know, I was on Marine One. So I had an opportunity to do that. So probably one of the coolest moments because I didn't know where I was going. And to have that moment to be with the president and be around him and see that the guys that he was playing golf with, those are friends of the president's who were huge fans of my dad's.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a story. I love that your dad just woke you up and was like, "We're going." I love that.
Let's go. He did it to me many times.
Oh, he would just wake you up and say, "We're going on a trip?
Yeah, we're going. We're leaving. Or, hey, get your bags. Let's go." And we would end up going to really, really cool places. So, you know, it was pretty cool. I got so many stories, you guys.
I went camping one time in Wisconsin with my dad, Jared, so try to top that.
Yeah, one time we went to Denny's.
He's getting pancakes and hot dogs with the president. Unbelievable.
Pretty crazy.
That is.
I know there are people out there that had a chance to meet him, so if anybody's listening and they got a cool story where they had a chance to meet him, please give us a call. 312-981-7200.
Absolutely.
I think, was it interesting because there had to come a point when, like, you know, you guys were fooling around and, like, you know, like wrestling or whatever, and you, like, you had to, like, slam him at one point, right? And he was, never happened?
No, there was
never happened? Never got to that point?
Never got to that point. Because by the time that I started to get big and was around my junior year is when my dad got sick. So okay. He wasn't, I mean, I was getting up there. But, yeah, he was just too strong. He was made differently, man. It's a weird scenario to look at him and to see what he did and watch games and how he dominated at his size. Because pound for pound, I mean, there's a lot of great football players, and not that he's my dad, but pound for pound football players, like all around it, you'd have to go back to the days like Red Grange. So the guys could do everything. I mean, he did whatever he was asked to do, and I think that's what made him kind of synonymous and just why people gravitated towards him in Chicago, man. He brought his lunch pail every single day to work. I mean, you play 13 years, you miss one game in your rookie season, and you come to work every single day and not take sick days. And the best game that you ever had was when you had 105 degree temperature, you rushed for 275. Are you kidding me? On a day where your boys would be like, "Hey, take the day off." No, man, he was he taught me so much. And I said that today in one of my posts, that I'm thankful for the 19 years I had with him. He taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to be a father and a husband. And I got a chance to learn from him in those times and those trips that I took with him. He showed me, because I was a visual learner, he showed me what I needed to do. And I got a chance to really, you know, see greatness. And you talked about it, Sam. Like, I had a chance. I was very fortunate to be around greatness, and I got to see what it takes. And it takes a lot, man. It's not just something that happens overnight.
Diane has a Walter story here. 312-981-7200, The Beat on 720 WGN. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hi, Diane.
Hello, Jared Payton. You are just amazing. I grew up in Hoffman and Schaumburg area, and we went to Walter Payton's place one time at the bar at the Marriott. And he had walked in, and of course, we're all excited. Oh, my gosh, there's Sweetness. There's Walter Payton. And we just said, Walter, come talk to us. And, you know, he put up his finger, and he gave us a little nod, and we're all like, oh, man. 20 minutes later, sure enough, comes, walks over to our table, sits down with us, chats with us, signs autographs with us. Just an amazing person. He is so dearly missed. Huh. And Jarrett, you are bringing on his legend, and keep doing it, man. Your family is an amazing family.
You just gave me chills. I appreciate it. He did. He gave people time, and I respect that. Because for a person of his stature and his status, I mean, you see it nowadays where people, they don't give people time, and he took time to get to know everybody and wanted to talk to everybody, and I think that's what made him so special.
He was, when he walked up to our table, I mean, I think we just all, there's like 10 of us, we just, our mouths just dropped. We couldn't believe it.
But Diane, I mean, when he walks in, he just takes over a room, too. I mean, that's the impression right away. I mean, that's probably one of your favorite memories of your entire life, isn't it?
Are you kidding? nothing could probably top that, except meeting Mike Singletary. I've never done that, but that would be my other, right up there with Walter Payton. Sorry.
Diane, I don't get this, though. You sound like you're only 25. How could you go to Walter Payton's place?
Oh, yeah.
See, Jared can work a room too. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Have a great day. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, it's just, I told you about this earlier, Jared, but I think everybody in this town in some way has some sort of story with your dad. Like my dad, I was telling you out, and I don't know the store, but he was running an electronics store, and he said your dad would show up super early as my dad was trying to open the store and kind of get things going before it was even open. And my dad said he'd look up towards the front sliding doors and there'd be Walter Payton knocking on the door. My dad would open up for him. And he's like, sure. And he says nothing but good things, joke around with my pops and shop around with him. So
that's cool, man. I'm just happy that you guys had a chance. Even growing up, how old are you?
27.
All right, so you guys were young. I mean, I remember those days of watching.
But his picture was in my room. I have an autographed picture of your dad in my room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've got the autograph in my basement. I'll send you that later. We got a big Walter Payton poster in the basement.
Send it to me on Snapchat.
I'll snap.
That was literally, it was literally hung right across from my desk. I mean, it's just, and I think if you're from Chicago, you had something with Sweetness on it at some point in your life. How about it, Brian? You agree with that? He was in every room in every house. Brian.
Yes, I'm here.
Did you have a Walter Payton poster, autograph? I'm sure you had something.
Oh, I had a lot of stuff.
What's your Walter story?
I had known Walter for many years, and we had talked about getting into business together. We talked about doing a magazine called City Sports, and actually had dinner with your mom and dad, or breakfast with your mom and dad at one of the Pro Bowls in Hawaii. So, long story short is that we kind of lost contact. We stopped discussions about getting into business. About 5 years had gone by, and I hadn't seen your dad. So I get to the airport. I've got a flight to Detroit, and in typical Walter fashion, he had convinced the gate agent that he was going to take tickets from all the passengers coming on board. You know, a typical thing that your dad would do. So I give him my ticket. I kind of nod to him. I didn't think he'd remember me. He nods back in a very straight face, nods back, and I'm boarding the plane. So as I'm about three quarters of the way down the jetway, I hear this pitter patter of little feet, and I turn around, and I'm in a suit carrying a briefcase, your dad tackles me, throws me up against the side of the jetway, and says, "What are you, good? Too good for me?" Remembered my name, remembered all of our interactions from day one, and he said, "When we land in Detroit, I'm going to hang out for you, and we'll hang out."
Wow.
And caught up, it was like, you know, it was like the old days. It was, but that was him. He never forgot you, and he did things from the heart. He was just awesome.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
That's it.
I mean, you're hearing all these things for the first time from all these different accounts, but at the same time, the stories are pretty much all the same, where he went out of his way to be an outstanding citizen to just your everyday Joe or Jane.
Yeah.
The texter says, "Met JP's dad when I was very young. It was his rookie year with the Bears, and I have a picture of me and him. I'm in a Packers jersey, but your dad was still nice enough to take a photo with him."
That's a classic one.
We got a couple more callers on hold. We've got the text rolling in. 312-981-7200. We're talking about Sweetness. Favorite stories with Walter Payton on the beat, 720 WGN. Coming up on 5 o'clock, it's The Beat, 720 WGN, talking about Walter Payton, the stories that you have had throughout the years, and you could tell, JP, that the people miss Sweetness, and I know you deal with this all the time. I'm sure people tell you stories pretty much every day of your life, but they can't ever get old.
It never gets old, ever. It will never get old.
Let's pick it up with Jerry, 312-981-7200. He's got a story about Sweetness at the golf range. What's going on, Jerry?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing good.
Jared, you may not remember me, but I used to hang around at the Green Valley Golf Range.
Yep, I know that place like it's my my right hand.
God knows how many times you called and I answered the phone when you were younger and you wanted to come and play miniature golf.
Yes.
Anyhow, one of the best stories I have about your dad, I was invited to his roast at 34's. Just before the induction of the Hall of Fame. And I had made a bunch of us got together. We made a golf club for him because, as you know, your dad could not hit a driver off the tee to save his life.
Yes.
But he could hit the heck out of the irons.
Yep, the two iron, right off the tee.
We made him a one iron oversized Dunlap head that he used to hit the hell out of.
Yes.
So
love it.
I went to the roast, and everything went on, and guys that I told that I knew Walter, they wouldn't believe me. So towards the end, when he got up there, I started walking towards the stage, and lo and behold, a couple of gutty bodyguards held me back. I says, "Walter!" He turns around and says, "Hey, guys, leave him alone. He's all right." He gave me a big, great hug on the stage.
That's awesome.
And the people that were with me, they were dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say.
That's awesome.
But, another thing I used to do when he was on the tee, and you remember the little window where we served the balls from,
mm-hmm.
He used to put a ball on the tee, and I would throw a ball right at the tee, at the ball that he had on the tee, and he would miss. And he'd say, "You turn around," and say, "You son of a so-and-so, he said, I'm going to hang you."
That's awesome.
We had a ball.
And the memories will live forever. They'll live forever, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
They will live forever. Guys at work still to this day don't believe it until I posted a picture on Facebook of Walter and me at the golf range. They said, "Oh my God, this SOP, they really did know Walter."
Thanks, Jerry. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
We got time for one more. We'll bring in Mary to close it out. Mary, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, Jared, when you guys were little, you were in grade school. I think it was in your sister's class, my nephew. It was a school play. And as always, your dad would always get there late and stand in the back. And I had the baby because she was crying. And so I stepped out in the back outside kind of where your dad was standing. And I was talking to him and just, you know, messing around. And the baby wouldn't stop crying. And I'm not a mom, so I'm not very good at making babies stop crying. And so I just said, "It's your turn." And I just handed the baby over to him. And she just, like, started, you know, jiggling her around and stuff. And she stopped crying right away and handed me back to her. It was just, like, so funny, you know. He was, like, so willing to do anything. And he just started laughing. So it was pretty funny.
Great story. I love those stories.
Yeah.
Random baby.
Hey,
stop crying. Random baby.
You got to do what you got to do to help out the people, man.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Appreciate the story.
Thank you, Mary. No
Thanks, Mary. Okay. They never get old, I'm telling you. It's 2 years in a row for me and you sitting here.
It is.
I'm surprised you haven't lost it yet because I lost it last Father's Day.
It's tough, man. I mean, just thinking about it. You miss him. I miss him so much. I wish he was around to be able to see my kids. My sister is having a baby in August, and it's just amazing to kind of see how our family's grown. But his spirit is with all of us, and so I know it's with the people of Chicago as well. So I always want to say thank you to everybody in Chicago because they're like extended family. It's really to our family. And it's my dad was ours, but he was everybody else's as well. So something I had to understand.
2 hours down, one to go on the beat. News is next, 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
It's one of my favorite songs. Who sings this song?
The lyrics speak to me. I like it.
It's one of those old Beatles songs, right?
Get the jams going. Let's pick it up. 5 o'clock, Sam.
Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich with you on the beat, 720 WGN. We have some station news, well, some station-related news. The Blackhawks, who play on this very radio station, and will be back before you know it, they have announced that they have agreed to terms with forward Nick Schmaltz out of University of North Dakota on a 3-year contract.
And he'll likely compete for a roster spot.
He's
going right to
probably
away.
Be third-line center.
Center, yep.
I mean, that's the plan here. You lose Teravainen and you bring in Schmaltz, who just won a national championship at North Dakota.
Jonathan Toews' school.
Troy Murray went to North Dakota.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's some big news here. I was told that Stan Bowman wanted Schmaltz ASAP, but they were going to let him decide if he wanted to come to the team or play again in college. Certainly some holes on this Blackhawks roster.
Yeah, and some other, catching up on some sports maintenance here. The U.S. Open underway. Dustin Johnson is your leader. 5 under. He's 2 ahead of Shane Lowry, who was the leader heading into today, but has fallen apart a bit. I believe he's 4 over for the day through 10 holes. Sergio Garcia is 2 under. Scott Piercy, 2 under. Jim Furyk's 1 under. Defending champ Jordan Spieth out of it. He finished, let's say, 4 over. So this was a course at Oakmont that many thought even par would win the entire tournament. Players have gone, thanks to the rain on the first day, which slowed down the greens, players were able to stick it a little bit closer. But 5 under, I don't think anybody was expecting that as the winning score. So we shall see. Dustin Johnson's been in this position before, eventually falling apart. We saw it last U.S. Open. He had to make a putt to win. He had a 2-putt to force a playoff with Jordan Spieth, and he 3-putted and lost, finished in second place. So we'll see if Dusty can finally get that major.
Is it too much to ask for an American to win the U.S. Open? I mean,
I think that's understandable.
It's pretty much
but Americans win the British Open as well. So.
Yeah, well, okay, the Americans should win all of them. But I think, you know, golf to me, and we actually were just putting here.
Yes.
During the news.
Cochran has a putter in the producer booth.
I am the worst golfer, and I feel like I talk about this from time to time here on 720, but I have no patience for golf.
Oh, I love it. Just relax. Light a cigar, Sam, if you want. Just kind of take it easy.
It's just not for me. It's not for me. But as you mentioned, this course, as we've seen, some of the best golfers in the world are being humbled at this course.
Oh, that's why a lot of people say their favorite U.S. the favorite major to watch and follows the U.S. Open because the professionals who tear up courses, you know, they play great round after round. It humbles them, like you said. Players are out there. I mean, the rough is nasty. These bunkers are deep and heavy. The greens are lightning fast. I mean, an amateur playing on the course and the conditions they're playing would probably, I mean, you know, if you're shooting the 90s, you're shooting close to 150 on this course. And these guys are Dustin Johnson right now, 5 under. You watch any of the coverage?
I've watched
it. Because Fox took over a couple of years from NBC.
Yeah, is this the first?
Second year for Fox.
Okay,
to have the U.S. Open.
But they had never had it in any years past, had they? Because I feel like golf has always been CBS, NBC.
It was. And NBC had the U.S. Open for years. And, yeah, I want to say this. Fox got into the golf game 2 seasons ago. But if you watch their coverage, I could see some traditionalists not liking it. They use every graphic possible.
And the tracker. They got the tracker.
I love the tracker because sometimes you see them hit a tee shot and the camera goes up and it's you can't even see the ball in the air. So
now, how does that
work?
Do they have that on their like on their belt or on, like how do they generate the tracker?
It's a camera that they have and it just sits there and it just picks up the ball and traces it in the makes the graphic. I don't know.
I need that when I golf.
I need it too
because I literally I'm the type of guy I go to the driving range and I'm like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing first of all. And like mm-hmm. you say, you try and go out there and have fun, but I get so frustrated because, you know, I'm hitting them like, you know, way the only balls I hit really well are going way off track. And then like I look to my left, I look to my right, there's like a 12-year-old boy pumping them 200, and then there's a chick hitting a 9-iron like dead center and I'm just like, oh, I'm done. You wow. know, I compare myself to, you know, it's a comparative sport.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people will just go out and play. You got to get some practice in because if you go out and just try to play, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to throw your clubs, and then you're just going to give up on the game.
Or you just don't do it.
Just commit. Get some golf lessons. See your local PGA pro. Give you a few tips.
Is there a local – is that a real thing?
A pro. You know, your
oh,
course
oh, like
pro.
Every course has a pro. I thought you meant like a real – like somebody playing in the U.S. Open, like I could just go get lessons
oh,
from them.
Oh, no. I just meant like a pro, PGA pro.
You've gotten lessons, I take it?
Yeah. Emil Esposito. It's my guy.
Long time ago.
Over the past couple summers, I've gone and seen him. I haven't had a chance to go out this summer and see him, and my game has suffered because of it. I'll come see you soon, Emil.
I need two Emils to help me because I'm losing to sixth graders. Weird scenario. Maybe weird's the wrong word, but I don't remember the last time Wrigley Field has hosted back-to-back weekend night games.
Yeah, this came up the other day. Me and my friends were talking two nights in a row on the weekends. Seems strange. But this is what the Cubs were fighting for a while now, is getting more night games. So I'm assuming this is what we're seeing now. But there are some news with the Cubs. Wilson Contreras, their newest addition to the roster. Just every week, I guess, they just roll out another elite prospect. Wilson Contreras ranked as the best minor league catcher prospect in all of baseball. He will make his first start tomorrow, his debut. And Dexter Fowler, strained hamstring, they're waiting on the results of that. There's a chance he could be on the DL, likely a 15-day, but the Cubs will know more soon as they head into tonight's game against the Pirates.
Well, this is good. It's not good to have Dexter Fowler on the DL ever.
I think
that being said, though, Albert Almora is going to play center field now for the next 15 days.
Right.
If this is the case and Dexter Fowler is hurt, I mean, this has been the whole Cub mantra over the last five seasons. It's been the organizational depth. Mm-hmm. And when somebody goes down, they literally just go down to the minors and pull up some young stud, and it's like they don't even skip a beat.
Right. It's the same thing with Wilson Contreras. You have him, they full-heartedly believe he is the catcher of the future. He can play behind home plate. Unlike Schwarber, who's more of just a hitter. You're just kind of trying to find a spot where he's not going to hurt you defensively. Schwarber and Contreras actually split some time in AA last season. But Contreras is a guy who's got a good arm, defensively behind the home plate, call a game. So now he comes up, and he's got two veterans to mentor him, two veterans that understand the plan the Cubs have and are willing to do that. They know that Miguel Montero, David Ross is retiring at the end of the season anyways. Montero has, what, 2 years left on his deal with the Cubs? So that'll likely be your two catchers for the next couple seasons. And both of those guys are on board with what the Cubs are trying to do as they sort of blend the veterans with the new guys. And Ross and Montero will mentor Contreras the rest of the season.
I don't think there's a player on that team with an ego.
No.
And that is so rare in professional sports. And you and I both cover this team. We're very fortunate to cover the best team in the league right now. Right. 46-20. 26 games over 500 in the middle of June.
Unbelievable.
Is just silly. It's just silly. But I don't think there's a bad egg in that locker room. And that speaks volumes in this, you know, generation of athletes. The me, you know, you want to be somebody who is, you know, always right. out and open and Facebook and Twitter, and we follow these guys, and there's millions of followers and millions of dollars, and, right. and I don't think they have one negative guy on that team.
No, and you, like you said, you can feel it in different locker rooms. You can feel the vibes in the Cubs locker room, and they're friends, it seems. You know what I mean? It just seems like a bunch of guys that are really good friends. And I think it all trickles really from Joe Maddon. I mean, he knows how to harness all those guys in. And you mentioned Dexter Fowler. I just wanted to hit one point. I think that I'll have to pull up his numbers here, but and Joe Maddon said it's in spring training. You go, we go is what he says to Dexter Fowler in the leadoff spot. And as good as Rizzo and Brian has been and Jake Arrieta doing his thing and the entire pitching, the pitching staff could probably be considered the team MVP. But you look at what Dexter Fowler's done and to think of what the lineup would look like if he doesn't somehow, you know, if the Cubs somehow don't bring him in midway through spring training, you look at that lineup, it's still going to be fine. Ben Zobrist is probably your leadoff guy without Fowler. But what he's completely transformed that lineup, and he just gets things going right off the bat. He gets on base, draws long at-bats. To me, he's the team MVP right now.
And this is the last year on the north side for Dex. They don't have enough money to pay him after this year.
His walk-up song is called Moolah. He's going to get a lot of that this offseason.
Well, he wanted to come back to win a World Series. Danny Long's producing our show, doing a great job today. Lifelong Cub fan.
Yeah.
What can you explain to me why this year, and winning is a lot of what's going on at Wrigley Field, but why is Wrigley the most electric place in the city right now? I mean, you've been going there for over 25 years. Why is it this year the most fun it's ever been?
Well, you just said it, winning right there. Winning, and I think an organization that knows what it's marketing. You have a figurehead in Joe Maddon who he stands for, you know, he's the fun manager, and, you know, the results on the field are there. Like you said, I mean, you guys are in the clubhouse when they're here at home. There's not an unlikable guy on that roster, and it shows the guys clearly are having fun playing together. That counts for something. And it's just, you know, the vibe is there. The park looks, you know, it's physically appealing, looks better than it ever has. Everything is kind of meshing together. But, you know, most important thing, the results on the field are there.
So the winning is the majority of reason, of course. But, I mean, I was there last weekend, or maybe it was 2 weekends ago. It's pouring down rain. It's a Saturday. It's like 3:05 first pitch. It is gushing rain, and, like, nobody even cares. Like, everybody's still in their seats. You know, if it rains on the south side, everybody's like, all right, we're out of here. They, like, you know, they peel out and get on the Ryan. It's just everybody is all in here. And it starts with the like you said, the organization. The manager is awesome. The players all get along. And the fans, they really believe that this is the year. They've been saying it for over 100 years, but they really, really feel that this is the year.
And every game feels important because you're getting quality starts every day out there. Every game is winnable, and every game is important, it feels like.
There are fans standing up. There's two strikes, two outs in the fifth inning, and people are on their feet.
Their run differential is up to a whopping plus 166. I'm trying to find the next closest is 83, so they've doubled it. That's the Red Sox. You know, the recipe really has been get out early, score some runs early, and then let the pitching staff do what they do.
And then they get jug runs late, too. Maddon calls them the jug runs when they're winning 4-2, and then, you know, Rizzo hits a 2-run homer in the eighth, and then it's 6-2, and I mean, they don't even need the closer.
Well, and every starter has an ERA under 3.
So they have 46 wins, and Hector Rondon has 20. Does he even have 20 saves?
No, he has 12 saves.
He only has 12.
He has 12 saves.
So of the 46 wins, they didn't even need their closer for 32 of them.
Jake Arrieta's ERA 1.74, John Lester 2.06, Jason Hamill 2.26, John Lackey 2.66, and that's an error on me. Hendricks just over 3.05.
Close.
That's your fifth starter, and that's his ERA 3.05. A team ERA, overall pitching staff, starting and relievers 2.63. It's pretty good, guys.
It's a special story. We're only halfway through the season.
It's incredible.
It's only June. 7:20 WGN. Time winding down on the beat. 7:20 WGN. About an hour and a half away from Game 7. I am so pumped to go home. The grill. Maybe a cigar. You said maybe a couple beers.
Maybe a couple or a few. We'll see. A
couple two tree.
Got some pork chops on the grill going here. Gonna go hang with Pops when I get home.
I'm watching it with my mom and dad. I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it there. We're gonna eat. Have fun.
And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there listening. Happy Father's Day to the many fathers here at WGN Radio. Cochran, Rowe, Bill Leff, Kaufman, Brian Noonan's coming up next. Is that correct, Dan?
Mr. Yep. Noonan. Happy Father's Day to Brian.
And his daughter's doing great stuff. She's working with Conan.
Yes, I heard.
That's her internship.
We'll have to talk
summer.
To him about that at right before 6 o'clock.
We had one more text about the Jared Payton.
We did. We had Jared share some great stories about him and his father, Walter, here on Father's Day. The 630 text in. Back in 1979, Walter and Roland Harper were making an appearance at the Fox Valley Mall in Aurora. My friend's mom worked for the Geneva Republican at the time, so my friend Debbie calls me up to see and go see them. Best part, she had a press pass. We got to meet them privately with them before signing time. We were having pictures taken, and Walter was goofing around, putting a pillow in front of my face when my friend would try and take the picture. We laughed a lot, had fun. All kinds of stories like that about Walter Payton when Jared was in here.
One of my favorite stories, and obviously I wasn't around to cover the team, but you read the books and you hear right. the stories, and you go to the 85 Bear.
Yeah, you hear about the 85 Bears every so
conventions.
Often.
Conventions, yeah. Yeah. They had the one thing at the Erie Crown, the anniversary. I think it was the 30th anniversary.
And then there's a 31st anniversary.
Yeah, there's a 31 for 31 next year. Right. Yeah, just, yeah, because we hinge on 85. You know, yeah. It was so long ago. But when they would be in the huddle in practice, and Matt Sui, who was Walter's lead blocker forever, and they were really good friends, he used to get so mad at Walter because Walter used to,
right.
we used to hold him by the back of the shorts.
I saw that photo today. I walked in. I was getting a hot dog at this place by my house, and I look up, and that's the photo. It's that classic photo of Walter pulling his pants down as Sui's in the three-point stance.
He's just like so, you know, because you know he did it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure Sui was okay with it 9 times out of 10, but that 10th time, he was probably really ticked off.
Yeah, it's a classic photo. I'm happy Jared. Jared shared some awesome stories. Just eating hot dogs and pancakes with the president. He told a story about his dad waking him up, not telling him where he's going. They go to O'Hare, fly out.
Get in the car.
They land in D.C., ends up spending a day with the president at the White House. George H.W. Bush. Ask Jared what
anything you want.
Anything you want on the menu. You can have whatever you want to eat. And Jared goes, I'll take pancakes and hot dogs.
Typical 12-year-old response.
12-year-old. Yeah, this wasn't, yeah. This
wasn't, yeah.
12-year-old Jared asking for hot dogs and pancakes. So anyway, if you have any, again, Father's Day stories, sports related, going to a game with your dad, anything like that, 312-981-7200.
This is The Beat, 720 WGN. WGN, it's The Beat. Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich with you. Brian Noonan will join the party at about, I don't know, 5:55 or so for some crosstalk, and then Brian's with you from 6 o'clock until 9. Dustin Johnson right now, some controversy at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson, sort of following along here on social media. Dustin Johnson, currently your leader at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. He's 5 under. Scott Piercy's 3 under. Shane Lowry, 3 under. Sergio Garcia is 2 under. And a couple of their fellow golfers have taken to social media to sort of bash the USGA. Jordan Spieth said, let me get this straight. DJ doesn't address it. It's ruled that he didn't cause it to move. Now you tell him he may have. This is a joke. So apparently on the fifth hole, the ball, he was initially told that the ball didn't, there was no rule was broken when he addressed the ball to hit a putt on the fifth hole. Now apparently a rules official has come up to Dustin Johnson. They're going to review if Dustin had made the ball move, which would be a stroke penalty.
With a two-stroke lead. It's not convenient for the leader at the U.S. Open. So they're saying that he moved the ball.
Correct.
But they're trying to go back and penalize him.
Right.
It's already happened, though.
Correct. But remember, in 2010 at the PGA Championship, Dustin Johnson grounded his club in a waste area. There's over 1,000 bunkers at Whistling Straits, and Dustin Johnson had grounded his club. He didn't know that it was a bunker. And after the round was completed, he was told by the official that he was going to get docked a stroke. That is a penalty in golf. So we're following this here. We'll keep you posted. Dustin Johnson, still your leader, though. But there's a chance he could be docked a stroke for a broken rule on the fifth hole. But right now he's on the 12th hole, So we will keep you posted on that. Dustin Johnson, again, 5-under at the U.S. Open.
We got a text here, 312-981-7200. I'm 52, but as a kid, my dad would take me to watch the Bears practice at Lake Forest College. We went so often that players recognized me by face. I was charged with passing out buttons to the crowd. Whatever it takes, said one of the buttons. I have my back to the field as Walter, Doug Plank, and Harper come flying out of bounds. Walter went over me like a cat. Harper sidestepped me and stiff-armed me. And Plank, at the last second, I swear, was lining me up. They all got up laughing, patting my head. I was in awe and may have crapped myself. Those were glorious memories for a young Bears fan. Walter Payton, may he rest in peace. That's some serious stuff. The NFL athletes going full speed on the sidelines. That's a scary place to be.
That is scary.
Full speed, some of the best athletes in the world. And look out, because you got Walter Payton coming over to run you over.
Yeah, Jared, again, was sharing some stories about his dad. If you have any memories of sports memories with your dad, was there a great game you went to with your pops? Did he take you to a Cubs game at Wrigley, or maybe on the South Side with the Sox, a memorable Bears game? Plenty of Blackhawks memories, I'm sure, that are vivid right now for a lot of people, considering what they've done over the past 7 years.
I think even for a lot of fathers and sons, and a lot of our listeners are... the memories are fresher for their sons, because a lot of them are fathers now, right, in their own right. But I don't even think a lot of the memories have to even involve professional sports, because for a lot of guys, it's, you know, the way that, you know, their dad taught them how to pitch, or used to throw batting practice to them, or worked on their jump shot, or, you know, used to help them, you know, take snaps as a quarterback, or drive them to practice, or things right, like that. I think it's more elementary stuff for a lot of people, because, you know, fathers and sons go hand in hand with sports, especially, you know, baseball and, you know, the American pastime and all that. There's just something about going to a game, though, like you said. You know, I don't keep score anymore, but, and I haven't really gotten a chance to do this in a while. Just going to a baseball game with your dad and leaving right, your phone in your pocket.
Right.
You know, and putting Snapchat, Instagram, putting all that crap away for a little bit, and just being able to, you know, just take it in, the sights and the smells and the sounds and the crack of the bat, the smell of the hot dog, and the taste of the beer. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like that. And when summer rolls around, we're starting to get into this 90-degree weather.
Yeah, but Sam, when I'm at a Sox game and drinking a beer in the stands with my dad, I've got to Snapchat it, all right?
Okay, well,
I
that's
gotta
you.
I've got to put it on Twitter.
That's you.
I've got to put it on Instagram.
Well, you're a reality star now. That's what Snapchat is. I mean, it's just, everybody's now a reality star with Snapchat. We did have a text about the dating game, by the way. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean you don't know
what
it means?
I don't know that they bailed on, like,
okay,
I guess the
so this was supposed to be round three.
I remember round one and two. I didn't get to my DVR for the third one.
So this
yet.
Is this again. So this, we'll set this up. This is the Rokod show. I do the afternoon sports for the show, and they set up this dating game, Roded, and try to pair me up with somebody. So a lot of we were soliciting for texts and people to send in if they're interested in going on a date with me.
Yeah.
Now, Sam, as you could imagine, the text line was flooded with people that wanted to go on a date with me, all right?
Bunch of cougars, yeah.
Yeah. No, and there's a lot of moms sending in photos of their daughters.
Oh,
you know,
that's so creepy.
trying to be matchmaker.
That is the creepiest thing ever.
But some people did. They sent in photos themselves. So we've been setting up. The two contestants will come here in studio. And everyone will, it's sort of like the dating game. Ro and Anna and Violetta and everybody on the show will interview the two contestants. And then the contestants can ask me a question, and then I can ask them a question.
But they can't see you, right?
Aren't you I stay up on the 7 studio in the sports office. There's only a little monitor so you can see my face. But we never interact. You know, like, I never come down here to the studio.
It's like blind date type
stuff. Blind
dating,
yes. And so we've done two rounds so far. And the show votes at the end who advances to the next round.
Yeah.
So this week was supposed to be Tuesday, and they both canceled on us.
I feel like that's part of the bit.
It's not part of the bit.
No, I feel like
one of the contestants is a paralegal. She was very busy in court. Okay, understandable. The other one, I don't know what happened to her.
I feel like this is part of the long con.
So this is
literally the con. This is the long con.
Well, it's supposed to pick back up again, and then at the end there's going to be the final round, and then they'll all come in, and then the winner gets to go on a date with me.
Yeah, wait, how's that? That's going to be so awkward.
Yeah, it's going to be very awkward.
I just, I mean, you know, you don't need the dating game, but I mean, it's part of the thing. But
it's
I mean,
fun.
I just wonder how quick it takes for that to wear off. You know, like the
yeah.
Before you're sitting around going, So, how about the weather?
You want to get the check? Yeah. You ready to get out of here?
Maybe
it goes well. Maybe the couple of those girls walking down Michigan Avenue want to be contestants. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, well, we could do a beat date again. I know Carm needs a date.
This is a great studio here. Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue.
Well, the best part is and we did the Preps Plus show last season. The Friday night
crews get rowdy.
The Friday night crew gets absolutely twisted, especially when we got the Blackhawk games on at like 7 and we're preempted till 11.
Right,
and we're getting people that have been at happy hour since 4.
Yeah, or at the Hawks game, they're like stumbling out.
People try and jump through the glass window here on Michigan Avenue. The best when they try and talk to you. Through the window, like we can hear them.
We have the mic out there. If you're ever near us on Michigan Avenue, but it's always you got to kind of hover the dump button if you bring some of these fans on the air.
The one year I was interning here, this is probably like 4 years ago. A car came up and smashed into that light post right there. And
I remember that.
I can't remember who was on the air, but
I think it was Bubala.
Well, okay, yeah. And he even said, like, I heard it through the double-plated windows. And you obviously see it here because Michigan Avenue lines our view.
Yeah, we're told this is double-paned, extremely tough and durable, bullet-resistant glass. We're told that.
Has anybody ever tested that? That would be a good video.
No, I don't want to give anybody any ideas.
Yeah,
I think we're safe. Yeah. Safe and sound here. Yeah, in the studio.
True. Brian Noonan is coming up next. We're going to do some crosstalk with him. You said that you went to a Sox game. Was there a notable one with your old man?
I think it was opening day with him and my brother in 05, the 05 year. I don't know. Because after the year ended, I you know what I mean, what happened at the end of 05.
Yes, you saw the start of the painting beam.
Correct. And then my dad and I also went to a Notre Dame football game when I was in high school, which was an incredible experience. But I think, as I told Jared and you guys earlier, my favorite is just doing what we're doing now, but with my dad and my brothers. I'm sure you do that. You just talk sports. You hang out and talk sports. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, he got me. Although mom was a huge Bulls fan, she is a huge – I don't think she actually is a Bulls fan anymore. I think she kind of gave up on the team.
Yeah.
But, dad was always going out to Springfield for politics.
Yeah.
And it was mom, my brother, and me watching the Jordan Bulls. And, so it's a sports family. Obviously, Adam's still playing. They lost today, by the way.
But he had a strong outing,
good
right?
Good outing. I will take 6 innings, and I will take 2 earned runs every single day.
Adam Sam's brother is pitching in the White Sox farm system.
I have the hat, too.
What is it again?
The Great Falls Voyagers.
Can I get a hat?
Can
you get your brother's autograph for me?
I'll sign it for
him. Maybe someday it'll be really valuable. You never know.
Give you a better chance to win than James Shields.
Unbelievable, man. Again, the White Sox lost today, swept out of Cleveland.
You see what Don Cooper said? He said, yeah, he needs to throw more strikes.
Yeah, throw more strikes, James Shields. Just throw the ball down the middle. Do something. I mean, it's an absolute disaster, and we're not going to speculate, but you got to start to kind of think, is he hurt? Is something going on there? Because this is these weren't just bad starts. These were unbelievably horrible, atrocious starts. He gave up 8 runs on Saturday. I'm going to pull up his game log here, but what James Shields is doing...
He gave up more runs than hits. You know how hard that is to do? 8 earned runs and 7 hits.
It is not good what's happening with James Shields. It's not good what's happening with the White Sox. You thought when they took 2 or 3 from Detroit, okay, maybe use that as a springboard. Tim Anderson came up. He's been a spark. He's fun to watch. All right, Saturday, James Shields' lines. One inning and 2/3, 7 hits, 8 earned runs given up. On June 13th against Detroit, 5 innings. He made it through 5, Sam. 5 innings, 9 hits, 6 earned runs. June 8th, 2 innings pitched, 8 hits, 7 earned runs given up. May 31st, this was his final start with the Padres before the Sox traded for him. 2 2/3, 10 earned runs given up. 10 earned runs given up, 8 hits. So in his last 4 starts... James Shields has given up. I'm going to do some quick math here. Sam, carry the 2, 17, 31 runs in 4 starts.
You could put a pitching machine on the mound and have a better success rate.
31 runs in 4 starts. His previous 6 starts were fine. He only gave up 10 runs in 6 starts, and then he gives up 31 in 4.
His ERA has ballooned to 6.28.
That's his overall ERA. His White Sox ERA is over 21.
Yeah.
So every on average, and of course, I would imagine if he's not hurt, and I don't know if he's hurt or not, but I would imagine that eventually luck will be on his side for maybe a start or two, and that ERA will come down. But right now, for every 9 innings he's going to pitch, he's going to give up 21 runs.
In hindsight, like right now, obviously this is not looking like a good trade.
No.
But when Rick Ha made the deal, unless he got hosed and something is going on
here. He might have gotten hosed.
At the time when he made the deal, I loved the trade. Maybe the Padres were like, all right, yeah, take him. Take him, White Sox. Maybe something's going on. Maybe they know something else. But we'll see. We're not going to spit. Maybe this is just one of those like Chuck Knobloch. You can't throw to first base. You can't throw the ball straight. Maybe this is just some weird, strange funk he's in.
But this could be, and if he's not good, this could be the worst trade they've made in the last 5 years. This could be the worst trade that Kenny and Rick have ever made.
They didn't give up a whole lot. It's not the worst trade in the world. Well, I guess they haven't. What other trades would even come to mind? I would just say more bad signings than bad trades.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make trades all that often unless they're trading for somebody who's about 37.
And they gave up Eric Johnson, who never really felt like he was going to become an established starter in the bigs, at least for the White Sox, didn't really seem to work. And Fernando Tatis as well.
Junior,
correct. 17-year-old Fernando Tatis Jr. So, but when the deal was made, I loved it. I'm like, you just got a pitcher who, whether you make that deal, you know, a few weeks ago or when the deadline approaches, he was still going to be probably the top pitcher to get. And it's a thin market. So the fact they were able to get Shields as soon as they did when they desperately needed something, that's why I love the deal. And they didn't give up a whole lot. They're not committing a ton of money. The Padres are eating half of it. But now it's like, oh, man.
It's just a Band-Aid on a cut. And that Band-Aid comes off, you're still going to bleed.
Gave up 8 runs in an inning and 2/3 on Saturday, if anybody missed it, yesterday.
Woof.
The Sox were swept out of Cleveland. Lost 3-2 today in 10 innings.
It's starting to become a trend. Sox are in a free fall. It continues. We'll continue after this on The Beat, 720 WGN. Danny Long hits it out of the park. You got a request.
When I was a child.
Luther Vandross.
Yeah, somebody texts in wanted this song.
Before life removed. Brian Noonan's in the studio with us. You probably danced this at prom, didn't you?
I don't even know what this is. I have no idea. I know I didn't dance any daddy songs at prom. That's creepy. I was worried about, you know, getting my swerve on. I wasn't worried about listening about my dad.
Swerve on.
Yeah, what's going on with you guys?
I'm really not on that show. Roger Badish is up in the newsroom too, and we bring
That's
Roger
a treat
in.
Always.
Badass. Roger Badass.
I see Roger either on Sundays at 5:55 or I see him on a random Thursday at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You challenged me to not really challenge. You wanted to help raise awareness for AML, which is acute myeloid leukemia, and there's a twist with Craig Sager there, and you wanted me to wear my best garb, so to speak, and I threw
your loudest and brightest and proudest.
A seersucker white coat, charcoal pants, and a tie that I don't think you could even find at the thrift store.
That tie was insane. I saw that picture. I wondered what was going on. It was like a Jerry Garcia tie.
Did
remember
you see
those?
The picture, Kevin?
I have not.
I'll have to show you the picture. Roger, man. I'm going to now ask you to critique and let me know how I did. Did I do okay?
You know, you did awesome. The purpose was to focus on the wonderment of your garb, and that tie was like a laser focus. You couldn't look at anything else. It was like, bam, right on the tie. It was an award winner.
Where did you wear this?
I wore that on SportsFeed.
Oh.
Yeah.
You wore that on television?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Somebody told me it takes a lot of charisma to wear that on TV. I said, you're really stupid.
I like the coat. The tie is not so
well, that's the point, but that's that's the Craig Sager thing. Yeah. There isn't really
exactly. Yeah, the coat he had on the other night, and that was a classy move by LeBron when he at the end of the game, but that coat he had on the other night was spectacular. I just love
the best.
Is it the blue coat with the flowers?
Trim? Iridescent. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It's something else. We were talking about I'm going to be taking an RV with my brother's friends to go watch him pitch in Montana.
Okay.
So it's not a cross-country trip, but it's close. We're going to God's country.
Far enough.
Any advice? Because you just went on a trip to drop your daughter off in California. Yeah, what do I need to know? This is an RV trip, by the way.
Yeah, see, that's great because you don't really have to stop. You can just keep going. You've got a bathroom right in the thing. You've got food right in the thing. It's a whole different world than being in a Kia Soul filled with all kinds of girly stuff. Listening to the Hamilton soundtrack for hours and hours and hours, being indoctrinated into show
Happy
tunes.
Happy Father's Day, Brian.
It was great. Listen, fellas, Hamilton tickets go on sale Tuesday morning. I can't wait. I was turned by my daughter. I don't know into what.
I did an RV trip to Cooperstown to see the Big Hurt get inducted. And it was I think it was 8 or 9 of us when we got an RV. And by the end of it, you know, everybody's close to killing each other. And you just want to get out of there. It's disgusting. It's a bunch of guys in this clothes. And we had too many guys in there in the first place.
Well, yeah, 8 guys in an RV is insane. What are you,
7? Stock up on toilet paper and Tums. You'll be fine. Tums
and
is
a lot
key.
Of Febreze.
Febreze, yes.
Some plug-ins, some Glade plug-ins.
Masks the stench as
I can
as
see
much
the
as possible.
Trip there being fun, but then I wouldn't want to take it back.
Yeah,
15 hours back from New York, and we were just done with each other.
Well, that's just it. It's because on the way, there's the anticipation.
Excitement.
Oh, we're
going
to get there. Da, 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 da. That's why I was so glad. Like I drove out there, but I flew back. Because then after the long drive, it was a 4-hour flight.
Yeah.
I was great with that. Driving out and then driving back, the back part is always the worst. It's like coming home from a vacation.
Right.
You're so excited, then you're coming home going, oh, man, this blows.
The only problem with that trip, you could probably fly back in. It takes me like a flight and a bus and a boat to get to Montana.
Well, yeah, Montana, you know, unless you're in a Conestoga wagon, there's no direct way to get to it. I think even now you have to take a covered wagon in Montana, don't you? You don't really get to.
I believe we do. Let's
there's find, one main road.
And
one
it only
paved
leads
road.
In and one out.
Yeah, it just cuts right across the middle. If you have to veer off. God help you.
Let's find out what's coming up on your show after this, 720 WGN.